I have to say, this has been by far the best camp counselor tandem that I have ever seen. Can we give it up for the camp counselors? Dude, you guys are awesome. I've never been more hyped after 2 days of not sleeping very much, so thanks. So Sunday morning, last talk of the retreat. You guys got in here for one more talk? All right, let's do this. I have had a great time this weekend. I've loved just getting to know you guys, and it's exciting to know that we're going to have a whole summer together. So thanks for doing LT. Thanks for being here with us. And we just trust that the Lord has something at the end of this retreat and beyond for the rest of these 8 weeks that we're going to be together. I love retreats. One of my favorite parts of retreats is getting to play basketball, getting to do foosball, all that like fun, active stuff. But it's been sad kind of over the past, couple years. I actually have been getting a little bit older, and I'm not aging very gracefully. So a couple years ago, I got diagnosed with this autoimmune disease. It's called, Cassandra and I actually share the same autoimmune disease. Kind of crazy, kind of wild. We were like sitting around like, it was like a dinner. And it was like five or six of us talking about all the health problems we have. We're like, we are too young to be having this much in common with disease. This is not good. But so I got this autoimmune disease, and all this like health stuff has been coming up. So I've had like arthritis in my back. I have internal bleeding now that happens if I like work out a ton or eat like just junk food all the time. And so I've had to change things up, had to change how I work out. So rather than going to lift or going to play a lot of ball, I just like ride the Stairmaster now, which is a little demoralizing being like the only guy. It's like me and like all these like 60 and 70 year old folks who are doing the Stairmaster together. I don't do Pizza Hut buffets or Donatello's buffets anymore. And I've kind of had to come to terms that life is going to look a little bit different now. I did intramural basketball and intramural football this past year. And I've had to kind of just like come to terms with that might have been the last year I get to do that. I don't know what's actually going to happen in the future, but I will be honest, it has been a bit demoralizing. I'm slowly losing the ability to do some of the things that I love to get to do, and I'm only in my late 20s. And so I know this isn't quite the feel-good intro for a talk, but you might be wondering, why am I sharing this with you? What is the point of this? In the midst of all this health stuff, in the midst of all this that's happening, something unexpected is happening. The Lord is romancing me, and I'm just experiencing his nearness to me. I've known him more deeply during this time, and it is so sweet. I still get sad at times, but with each passing month, with each passing year, I find myself longing for him more. I find myself waiting for him to come back. You know, this summer we're investigating what it means to be citizens of heaven, and citizens comes from Philippians 3. It's verses 20 and 21, so I just want to read those two verses for you. Verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been thinking more about verse 21. It's this, he brings everything under his control, and he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. And in this season of life, I've actually read this verse, and it sometimes brings tears to my eyes because I get a sense that this is not the way it's going to be forever, right? Like one day, I am never going to have to ride a Stairmaster again. One day, I'm going to have no more arthritis, no more pain, no more missing out on the things that I enjoy. Everything is going to be much better. Jesus is going to come back, and he is going to transform everything. Not only our bodies, but our minds and our relationships and our entire world. Yes, we can have a relationship with God right now. Yes, we can have community right now. But one day, we're going to have a perfect relationship with God. One day, we're going to have perfect community. One day, we're going to have a perfect world with no more sin and no more death and no more pain. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that is so cool, isn't it? Like this resurrection we're talking about, this redemption we're talking about, this is the climax. This is the epitome of the Christian life. And so if that's the climax, what do we do while we wait for it? What do we do while we're still here? What do citizens of heaven do until Jesus transforms this world? You know, Paul hints at it a few verses earlier in Philippians 3. He says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Join together in following my example. In Greek, there's a phrase for this, join together in following. It's ginomai. And ginomai means more than just mimicking something. It connotates being changed to your core. It connotates living as Paul lives, feeling as Paul feels, thinking as Paul thinks. So Paul says, as we wait for Jesus to come back and transform this world, we are supposed to transform the world by the way we live. And Kyle pointed out one way that we do that. Paul says, as citizens, we are to treasure Christ. Abby pointed away another way that we do that. Paul says that we, as citizens, pursue gospel-centered community. And today we're going to talk about how citizens don't just keep God's love to themselves. They don't just keep the church to themselves. Citizens reach the lost. Citizens seek out other non-citizens. And we see Paul write about this in Philippians, right? But we also get to see him live it out with the Philippians. You know, about 10 years before Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he actually planted a church in Philippi. And in Acts 16, we actually get to read about what Paul did when he was in Philippi. And it's so cool. The Philippians, they didn't just read about it. They got to see Paul's heart for the lost. They got to see Paul's heart for the church. They got to see Paul's heart for God. And today, we're just going to investigate one example, one thing Paul did during his time in Philippi. But before we do that, let me just pray and ask the Spirit to speak to us through his word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. We've spoken together just hundreds of times, and I can't wait until I get to see you. I can't wait until I get to be in your presence, and I know my brothers and sisters here feel the same way. And Lord, we just trust that you have us here for a specific purpose, a specific reason. Yes, you want us to come to know you more deeply. Yes, you want us to love your church. But you also want us to seek out the lost. You want us to have eyes to see the people who are around us. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we open up your word, that you would just give us a fresh vision for why we're here and what our mission is. Lord, I pray that this summer would just be a summer where we get to rejoice together in all the ways we get to see you move. We love you, and we pray all this in your name. Amen. All right, so we got a room full of LTers here, who all love Jesus, and you might be wondering, what could I possibly share with you that you haven't heard about reaching the lost? And the answer to that is probably nothing, right? There's probably nothing that I'm going to share that you haven't heard before, so go ahead and like lower any expectations that you had of that. But sometimes we don't need something new, right? We don't need to hear something new. We just need to be reminded of what's true. We need to be reminded of who God is and who we are in him. And so Acts 16 is one of those passages for me. It's one of those passages for me that just remind me. It rekindles my heart to live as a citizen. Acts 16 starts with Paul, and he gets this vision from God to go to Macedonia, and that's where Philippi is located. And so Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, they all get together, and they go to Philippi. And then they start sharing the gospel with all these people. And then all these Philippians, they start following Jesus. And then Paul develops some deep relationships with them, but not all the Philippians like Paul. And so they get Paul and Silas thrown into jail. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and get your Bible out and open up to Acts 16. Acts 16 verses 25 to 34. And I'm not going to read it for you guys. You guys are going to get a chance to read it on your own. Acts 16, 25 to 34. And the reason we're doing this is because our dream as a church is that we would read the Bible for ourselves. We would read the word for ourselves. If you get nothing else out of LT this summer besides reading the word for yourself, it will be eternally worth it. You may not get much from a talk, but you can trust that God is speaking to you through his word, because God's word is alive and active, right? And if we read it, it will change us if we submit to it. So we're going to read Acts 16, verses 25 to 34, going to give you about 5 minutes, and then we're just going to come back together and just share things that stuck out to us. And I'm not fishing for any, like, right answers for when we're sharing about what we read. We just want to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and just gather around God's word and share what the Spirit's speaking to us. So go ahead and read Acts 16, 25 to 34, and I'll call us back together in 5 minutes. All right, so what are some things that stuck out to you guys as you read this passage? You don't have to raise your hand or anything. You can just shout stuff out. Anything stick out to anyone? Yeah. Isn't that kind of crazy? You don't think of a prison necessarily as like a mission field that often, but there's all these prisoners who are there, and they get to listen to this exchange. They get to hear about and see what happens. Yeah. Yeah. So true. There's like, Paul says like one sentence, and then he's like, all right, like, I'm in. And then like his whole life changes. Dude. That's so cool. I hadn't even thought about that. That's sweet. Yeah, you get the sense that he's like kind of on the outskirts of it all. And he's like hearing their songs and he's hearing their conversations, and it's probably been itching at him for a while. And then this is kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, and he just like can't take it anymore. He has to know how to be saved. That's cool. Yeah, that's so. That's so cool. It's like we're redeemed, we're set free, and we could just leave. We could be like, all right, we're set, we're good. But they actually stay back in jail, which is so counterintuitive, right? Yeah, right? This is the guy who, like, he might have been part of the crew that was, like, beating and mocking and doing all this stuff to them, and they're, like, reaching out to him. They're, like, loving him. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, that is a huge turnaround. He goes from being like, I don't want to live at all, to getting to experience life to the full. Like, it's so crazy. We could probably spend, you know, a long, long time just talking about more things in this passage. It's kind of crazy. Like, this is like an amazing passage in Acts, but this is actually the third time that people have been set free miraculously from jail in Acts. So it's kind of like a normal thing that happens in Acts, which is kind of wild. But it's interesting, the emphasis, and you guys hit on this too, the emphasis of this passage isn't necessarily Paul's rescue. It's totally the jailer's rescue, right? Like, we see Paul and we see Silas doing stuff, but it's all focused on how God redeemed this jailer through them. And so in the midst of this jailer coming to know Jesus, we just want to highlight three things. Three things that Paul models here about what it means to be a citizen of heaven. Three things that if we take to heart, God will use it to transform us and transform the world around us. And the first thing is this: citizens see people. Citizens see people. So Paul and Silas, they've been beaten, they've been mocked, they've been tortured, they've been thrown into jail. And then verse 24 says they were placed in the inner cell. And the inner cell was kind of like the dungeon. It was cold, it was dark, it was rank, there were rats and sewage. It was an extremely uncomfortable place. And in the middle of their suffering, Paul and Silas, they start singing these hymns and singing these praises to the Lord, and then all of a sudden this earthquake hits. And then their shackles are broken, the doors bust open, and they're free. And this is like, I think it was what Sarah was saying, this is typically when prisoners make a run for it, right? Like any good prison break movie, this is where they leave. This is where they get out. And then We don't see that, though. Rather than them escaping, they stay back, and they see this jailer, and he's about to kill himself, and they reach out. Rather than look out for themselves and run, they see him, and they have compassion on him. They see a fellow human being, made in the image of God, on the cusp of eternal damnation, and he's about to kill himself, because jailers back then, they were actually personally responsible for their inmates. And if prisoners ever escaped, the jailer was often executed and their family was put to shame. And so imagine how hopeless this man felt. He was probably scared because he didn't know what happened. He was probably confused. He probably felt helpless. He may have felt he failed his country, he failed his family, and he had lost all hope. He was about to kill himself. He draws his sword, and he's about to impale himself, and then Paul sees him and intervenes. And the relief the jailer must have felt was palpable, because at the core of every human being is this innate desire to be seen, for someone to step in and say, hey, I see you. I see your needs. I see that you have value. And it's not just in life and death situations, right? Like when we post something on social media or in a GroupMe, we want someone to see it and like it, right? When we do a good job, we want someone to say, hey, I see what you're doing, and you're doing great. You know, I yearn to be seen. And I mentioned earlier how I play intramural football this past year. I've shared this story before, but Erica would actually come and watch me play intramural football. I've actually brought a picture of her. She would kill me if, well, she wouldn't kill me, but yeah. Oh, you can't quite see it, but she's like dressed out in this little Indian getup. I call her my Princess Jasmine because I kind of look like Aladdin. I know it's a cheap joke, but she is one of the people that just sees me. And so whenever I'm playing football and something good happens during the game, I always like sneak a peek over to the sideline to see if she's noticing me. And she'll like look and she'll smile and she'll wave. And in those moments, it's kind of crazy, right? Like, I'm almost 30. I'm a grown man. I shouldn't need someone on the sideline to just look over in a flag football game and be like, hey, I see you. I know that you're out there and you're doing something. But it's so nurturing to my soul to know that Erica sees me and she cares about me. And I'm convinced that all people want to be seen. All people want to be cared for. You guys know Stephanie Hoagland, right? Stephanie Hoagland, she's a fellow LTer with us, and she is someone I admire because wherever she goes, she sees people and she cares for people. There's a photo of her too. She's a seer of people. You can't really make that out either, but there's a little puppy in her arms, and she's a seer of puppies as well. She loves people. She loves animals. And last year, Steph was leading this team on campus, and she was planning their team retreat. And she was in charge of all the food. And so grocery shopping for 50 college students is no easy task. So she's on her way to the grocery store, and this old homeless lady approaches her and asks Steph for help. And Steph could have easily told the woman, I'm sorry, I don't have time. Steph had ministry to do. She had schoolwork to do. She had carts of food to buy. But she stopped. And she listened to this woman, and she was a friend to her. I imagine hundreds of people walked by that woman that day. But Steph sat, and she listened for over half an hour. And the story doesn't end with this woman miraculously coming to know Jesus, but it ends with this woman feeling loved by Steph. It ends with Steph not letting the urgent get in front of what's most important. And the point isn't that we need to drop everything we're doing to go help someone who's in need, but the point is this: how often do we truly see the people around us? How often do we truly care for the people around us? Just like Paul saw the jailer, just like Steph saw this woman, we can see the people who are around us. As citizens, that's what we do, right? We see people on campus, at work, in class, at home. There are people all around us. Just like the jailer, just like the woman, just like you and I, wanting to be heard, wanting to be seen, wanting to be reminded that they matter. So we just want to ask you guys, who do you see? Who do you see? Who are the people around you that God wants you to see? It's so crazy. We can give people a little taste, a small glimpse of how Jesus sees them. And we get to communicate, you matter. You're worth seeing. You're worth knowing. It doesn't take much, right? It can be a text. It can be a phone call. You can grab a meal together. You can show up to their flag football game. But who do you see? Okay, let's keep going. Second thing is this. Citizens persist. Citizens persist. You know, it's crazy. Here's Paul. He's in Philippi, and he's sharing the gospel, and people don't like what he's doing, so they throw him into jail. And then this earthquake hits, and he has this miraculous chance to just get out of Philippi, right? I'm going to go somewhere where they're not going to persecute me. Or maybe Paul could just retire. I've planned enough churches. I've done enough ministry stuff. I've done enough leading. I'm done. But that's not what he does. What's he do instead? Paul sees this jailer, and he does the very thing that gets him in trouble everywhere he goes. He shares the gospel again. He tells people, believe in Jesus. And it's, you know, the jailer totally sets him up for this. Like, he runs in, and he falls at Paul's feet, and he's begging to hear the gospel. I know if you guys were in small group and someone's running in and falls at your feet and asks to share the gospel, you're not going to be like, oh man, my life is so hard. There's so many people who are just begging to hear the gospel. But there's something here that's beautiful. There was no guarantee that this jailer was going to respond well to Paul. Philippi was a Roman colony, and people worshiped Caesar there, like Abby was saying yesterday. And so Paul easily could have shied away from talking about Jesus because this jailer probably worshiped Caesar. But Paul wouldn't shut up about Jesus because his heart broke for the people of Philippi. He wanted them to know the truth, the true way to be saved. And so citizens persist in sharing the gospel because they are convinced of two things. There are two things that they're like, yes, this is true. The first thing is the gospel is exclusive, right? Jesus is the only way for people to be reconciled to God. But they're also convinced of this. The gospel is inclusive. Anyone can follow Jesus. No one is too far gone. No one is without hope. And when we get that, it motivates us. It motivates us to keep sharing with people. Some of you guys know Robbie Freeman, right? Robbie Freeman, also doing LT, got a picture of him. He's hanging out at Thompson Library. That's like the little William Oxley Thompson bus there. So fun fact about William Oxley Thompson, he actually graduated from seminary, and then he did ministry before he was the president of Ohio State. I actually never knew that. But Robbie's story is even cooler. Robbie got to OSU, and then he rededicated his life to Christ, and then he got knit into community. And then for the next 3 years, he's spreading the gospel, he's making disciples, and then Robbie actually graduated this past spring, and he got a job right here in Columbus, but he felt a little torn. He didn't want to do staff full time, but he still wanted to reach out to college students. So after praying about it, he decided, okay, I'm going to work my 9-to-5 job, and then I'm going to volunteer my time to reach this campus. And there's no guarantee that he's going to do that forever, right? Like, he may eventually feel led somewhere else, but Robbie gets it. He's like, there are thousands of people here on this campus, and one day they're going to graduate, and one day they're going to scatter all around the world. And if they just knew Jesus, if they just knew the gospel, it would change their life, it would change their family's life, it would change their community. And so that's why he wants to persist, because his heart breaks for people to know Jesus. He wants to persist on OSU's campus through awkward conversations where people are like, why are you still here even though you graduated? He wants to persist through follow-ups with freshmen who may not ever ask him one question about himself, but he wants to get to know them. He wants to persist in sharing the gospel even if they reject Jesus, even if they reject him, because his heart breaks for people to know Jesus. And here's the thing, that may not be the mission God has you on. Your mission might change, your relationships might change, but one thing will not change until Jesus comes back, and that's that there will be people around you who do not know Jesus. And it will take persistence to share the gospel with them, even when it's not convenient, even when it's awkward, even when you're afraid. And so we just want to ask you this morning, is there anything that's keeping you from sharing the gospel? Is there anything that's keeping you from sharing the gospel? And if there is, what is it? You know, maybe it's fear of man, fear of rejection. Maybe it's apathy. Maybe you don't know how to share the gospel or how to start a spiritual conversation. Whatever it is, being able to identify it is the first step. It's the first step in being able to engage with it and then persist through it. All right, home stretch. Last thing we're going to hit on is citizens are privileged. Citizens are privileged. Being a citizen has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God. The jailer walks up to Paul, falls at his feet, and asks, "How can I be saved?" And here's Paul, right? He's the poster child of evangelism. He has written 12 letters that are part of Scripture. And maybe we'd expect him to rattle off some verbose sermon about how we can be reconciled to God, but what does he say? He says one sentence, "Believe in Jesus." That's essentially it, right? It can't be any more simple than that. Just believe in Jesus. And then all this crazy stuff happens. This enemy of God becomes a brother in Christ. And his eternity is changed forever. And then he washes Paul's wounds. And then he invites Paul to come to his home. And then he treats Paul like family. And we often think of Paul as this grand missionary, right? And he totally was. But all he does here is say one sentence, and then God does the rest. And isn't that what God tends to do? We just take one tiny step, and then God moves. We see it all over Scripture, and we see it all over our own lives as well. You guys know Cassandra Dalton, right? Well, she is sitting right two rows in front of you. She and I got to go to Cocoa Beach spring break. It was a great time. We got to see God do a lot during that time. And there was this guy who went on the trip who didn't know Jesus. And the whole week we had all these gospel talks and gospel workshops. Several different staffers connected with this guy about who Jesus is. But on the last day of the trip, he still hadn't accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And so we get done with some quiet time, and we go right into team time before baptisms. And at the start of team time, this guy just asks, how do I get saved? How can I be saved? And Cassandra gently but boldly steps in, and she shares the gospel with this guy. And it's awesome because this guy accepts Christ, and then he's like so happy that he's crying. And then we go to the baptism service, and he's like, "You know, I want to get baptized." And so he gets up and he like wings this baptism testimony, and then Cassandra dunks him, and then he comes back to campus and he's reading the word and he's in community, and now he's out at Colorado LT growing as a disciple of Jesus. And I have no idea what's going to happen in this guy's life, you know, 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But isn't that cool? Like, Cassandra just takes this small step of faith, and then she has front row seats to watch God move. And if you think about it, we're all just like Cassandra. We're all just like Paul. We were slaves to sin. We were enemies of God, but we've been adopted by him. Not because we're spiritual all-stars, but because of Jesus. And as God's kids, every day is take your kid to work day, and we just get to show up and watch our God do work, right? That is cool. We get a sweet deal, don't we? We are so spoiled. You know, the Jews, they needed sacrifices just to be near to God. And Jesus is our eternal sacrifice. The prophets, they longed for God's presence, but we have him living in us. People are trapped in guilt and shame, but we have grace. People wonder what happens after they die, but we are citizens of heaven. The life of a citizen is the greatest privilege in the world. Being a citizen is seeing people. Being a citizen is persisting in the gospel. But we want to ask you, are you enjoying your privileges as a citizen? Are you enjoying your privileges as a citizen? Do you walk in the power and the freedom and the joy that God has given you as his chosen son or his chosen daughter? Because when we do that, it frees us up. It frees us up to just take steps of faith and just watch God do work, right? You know, you may have noticed we've talked about Steph and Robbie and Cassandra, and they're all doing LT, but we could have talked about any one of you guys. They are definitely people that I admire, but they're not super Christians. They're not super citizens. They're citizens just like you, just like me, just like Paul, willing to love people, willing to share the best news ever. And you probably know this, but after LT, you're not going to be any more of a citizen than you are right now. So what do we do with all this? Where do we go from here? I genuinely believe most Christians want to share the gospel. But one reason many people don't is that they don't really know how to go about it. They don't know how to start a spiritual conversation. They don't know how to maneuver through the conversation, how to share the gospel, maybe what to do after you share the gospel. There is a lot of exhortation in the church to share the gospel, but not a lot of equipping on how to share the gospel. So even if we have good intentions, we will struggle to share if we don't learn ways to share. So that's what we're going to be focusing on this summer. This summer, each week, we're going to have practical ways we can actually get out in the gospel and share. And our hope is that we would just get to live as privileged citizens who see people and share the gospel more. And it starts today. So after we worship, we'll learn a few tools of how to share the gospel. So here's what we'll do. I'll pray. We'll worship. We'll give you guys a 10-minute break. And then we'll meet back here. Sounds good? Cool. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you've adopted us. Thank you that you have brought us into your family, into your kingdom, and given us eternal life. Thank you that we just get to show up and watch you do work. And it is amazing the work that you do. We read about it in scripture and we see it in our own lives. And so, Lord, I just pray that this is a refreshing, amazing, beautiful summer where we are just filled with faith and joy getting to watch you work. Lord, I pray that you put specific people in our lives that we can just see and take the time to engage with and love and pursue. Lord, I pray that even in the difficult times when we're maybe feeling apathetic to the gospel or afraid to share the gospel, that we would persist because we are free and we have freedom in Christ and we know that you are with us. And Lord, I pray that many, many people come to know you as Lord and Savior this summer. Lord, I pray that many, many people would get to have reconciliation with you and come into a relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that by the end of the summer, we just get to celebrate together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we love you and we pray all this in your name. Amen.